for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, May the 26th, 2018. Frank Marzullo, Jr. is the speaker of this service teaching on Principles of Healing.
Well, we really appreciate him. And Nikki and his wife came all the way down here from Wisconsin. Got in a wreck up there, still came. We needed him, and he answered the call. And we thank him and his wife for putting up with us. Oh, they love it. They love it. Lord, I thank you for this offering, for meeting our needs, Lord, and for the people that have given here tonight. I ask, Lord, that you bless each and every one of them with a double portion of your love over them. I ask, Lord, as they go home tomorrow, that your angels encircle them, that your angels with their swords drawn go with them and around them, Lord, and protect them as they go home. I thank you, Lord, for all these people that you have called and they have answered your call. I thank you, Lord, that you have come and delivered them and met them right here, Lord, right here, that they could be set free from the things that they come here for, Lord. I thank you that you are a great God, a loving God, a God that knows your people and knows their hearts, Lord. And I thank you so much. Bless them, Lord. Bless them with a double portion. Bless them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. All of you, for being here, for answering the call that God has set up to you. Many have been called, and I've said this before, but you have answered that call. You have come, you have set yourself free. You have, I can't get the words out, I'm sorry, but it's okay. It's okay. You have come so the Lord could set you free, and free, free indeed you are. I have such a love for you in my heart. I have such a love for all of you, such a love, and I give you my heart, my love. So when you go home, when you go home, remember the things that you have been taught here. Be strong. Be strong in the Word. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong when the enemy comes. And he will. He will. But be strong and be aware. Be alert. Mm-hmm. Be alert. And watch. Stay strong in the Word. Pray. Fast if you can. Fast if you can, and pray and humble yourself before the Lord continuously. Continuously, and pray for us. Pray for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Pray that the Lord will bless this camp every holiday. And many of you, I hope, will come back, because the Lord has just started to do a great thing in you. He has just started to do a great work in you. But it takes time to get all those deep things that are rooted deep into you out. So come back. Come back. I thank you, brother.
Can everybody say, wow?
Wow!
Glory to God. Whoa! Thank you, Jesus. Crystal, can you come here, please? Crystal was sharing with me something about my wife, and I thought it appropriate to let you guys hear it, too.
Good evening. My name's Crystal. I've been coming here for quite a few years, more than half my life, and we used to have a ladies' meeting upstairs, and during one of the ladies' meetings, Jill Marzullo was the speaker, and she shared with us her testimony. And as a little girl, I remember her in her testimony talking about how her mom had wanted to abort her but didn't know that she was pregnant because her body had continued to function as a woman's body would function if it wasn't pregnant. And so I had talked to Frank when he got here at this time about it, and I said, do you know if she's ever made a booklet or anything about that? And he said, no, she hadn't. And so I went into why I thought it would be a good booklet to put together. And then I was talking to some others about the website for LHBC Online and all the audios that Kevin has so lovingly put on there. And last night when I was going through the internet looking for some things, I came across a service by Jill Marzullo, and it was on rejection. And I thought, well, I'm going to play this and see if she mentioned. And sure enough, it is her testimony, and she gives more details than Frank shared earlier today about how the Lord just hid her in her mother's womb and the things that he brought her through. And there's a great season of deliverance, or a great portion of deliverance at the end of that. So I just encourage all of you to listen to that. It would bless all of you, whether you're male or female, whether you've had children or not had children. If it doesn't touch your life as deep as it's touched mine, somebody you know needs it, and you can pass that information on to them. It's not difficult to get to. If you go to LHBC Online and you scroll down, for some websites, you might think they have a nice short page that fits in the screen, but LHBC has nice long pages, so make sure you scroll down because the jewels are at the bottom. So scroll down, and as you get to the lower part of the page, you will see the speakers are listed by name. And so if you're looking for a man to listen to, you guys can find a man. If the ladies are looking for a lady to listen to, you can search by lady's name. There's a synopsis that tells you what the service is about, and it's just go look for it. Hers is listed under Frank's name, so easy to remember, Frank Marzullo. Just look under his name, and the service is rejection. It was done during the 2013 Deliverance Ministers Conference. And I just encourage you to dig in. Kevin has put so many loving hours into those audio files for us to have access to. Just scroll down that page and let the Holy Spirit just highlight whichever one's for you that day and just start listening. Thank you.
Great job. During worship, the Holy Spirit changed something around a little bit. He does that. It's an amazing thing. Joel chapter 2. It talks about how a fire goes before them and burns up everything. And then it talks about what happens. The whole, everything is destroyed. And how the enemy comes in and ranks and destroys. And there's really nothing left. This army that the seems to go through the land and destroying and burning. And it's to me, it's a vision of what the enemy has done in our lives. The enemy has come in and destroyed. And he plays a lot of havoc in our life. And I believe that we came here under great stress. We came here under great stress. Most of us came here wondering how we got here. It's just like, wow. There has been such adversity for you and I and everybody else to get here. And I feel like this is what has happened here. The enemy comes in. And then we find out in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, and I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat and plentiful, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God. So because of the destruction, God sends in healing, he sends in restoration, he sends in plentiful, and he restores. And I was looking at that as we were worshiping, and then the other thing that came to my mind was Elijah, and we were talking about the double portion, we were singing about the double portion here, and I was thinking about Elisha and the widow's oil. And a certain woman, chapter 4, Elijah, the wives of the son of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. She was she was married to the ministry. Her husband died. He was a minister. He was a prophet. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take away my two sons to be his slaves. Wow. All of a sudden, things are starting to happen to this righteous woman, this person. Who in here is righteous? Who's been called by God? Come on, let me see. You all been called by God, basically. Yeah. You're righteous. How many here have gifts? Yeah. And sometimes bad stuff happens to you, right?
Yeah.
Bad stuff happens. And so here's this woman. And she was in the mainstay of the ministry as a wife. And bad stuff is starting to happen to her. The creditors are coming. They're going to take her sons away. So Elisha says to her in verse 2, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. A jar of oil. Stop there. Oil, what represents what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Jump back into Joel chapter 2. God's about to pour something into the land. Watch this. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God. Verse 27. And none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward, after what? After all that destruction. After all the things that the enemy has come to destroy. After that, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall see dreams, and young men shall see visions. Say, pour forth.
Pour forth.
Your spirit. Upon all flesh.
Upon all flesh.
That's what God is saying. I'm about to pour forth something upon you. Now, question. Go back to Elijah. Then, verse 3, Elijah 4, verse 3. Then he said, go borrow vessels. See, she has nothing but a jar of oil. And he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather a few. And when you have come in, shut the door behind you, you and your sons. Say, shut the door. Oh, we're going to get to that in the next when I start talking about healing, because this is something you're going to see. It's going to go, you ever have an epiphany and the light goes on, ding, the light goes on, shut the door. This is important. Elijah chapter 4, verse 3. I'm sorry, Elijah chapter 4. That's Frank chapter 9. Second Kings 4. So we have 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3. And shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour into it all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought in the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now, it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And she said to her, and he said to her, there's not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God. And the man said, go sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons live on the rest. They were millionaires. Hello?
Praise God.
They lived on that. And I want to ask you something. Do you feel like God has been pouring forth His Spirit here? Do you feel like God has been pouring forth something into you?
Yes.
Are you ready to catch it with this? No. This is too small. How about something like that?
Yeah.
Something bigger.
Yeah.
How about bigger than that? Big garbage can.
Yeah.
How about big 55-gallon drums?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm saying to you is, are you ready for the Holy Spirit to pour forth something into you? Say, Lord, pour forth your Spirit upon me. Now, don't be satisfied with a little bit. Go into those areas that you've closed the door behind. And you say, wait a second, God, I'm going to go into this closet. I'm going to take out what other vessels are in here. There are things in there. Yeah, we've closed doors behind God. Say, I want more of you, Father. I want more of your oil in my life. More of your Spirit. Pour forth your Spirit upon me. There you go. There you go. Thank you, Lord. There you go. Now we're ready. I'm going to teach you principles behind praying for healing. And healing is God pouring forth something into you or into someone else. He's pouring forth His healing grace, His power into someone else. Thank you, Father. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, He declares, I say to you that he who believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these he shall do. Greater? Greater. Greater than walking on water? Greater than rising people from the dead? Greater than healing blind eyes? Oh, yeah. Greater. Say, I want the greater miracles. Pour forth your Spirit upon me.
Pour forth your Spirit upon me.
We all know that the signs and wonders that follow a believer, Mark 16:17. And we do know this, that we have to be a believer in order for those things to happen. So the first step in praying for healing is that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. I don't know if there's any worshippers of Buddha in here. Are there? No? Okay. Because you've got to be converted tonight. So, why? How could this be? How could the greater be? In Luke chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus says, don't look here or there for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God is within you. You have the kingdom of God within you. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have these things, these treasures in you, so that when you go to lay hands on the sick, they will recover. They will be healed. Amen. So we have, number one, the first step is that you are a believer. And that you know Jesus Christ. You received Him. And number two, it says that if you want to do His miracles, you must know who you are in God. You must know who you are in God. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
That's right. Because if you're not a believer, you're not believing. You have to believe in the miracles. You have to believe in these things. It's very important. We'll get to that. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, as Jesus, to them he gave the right and the power to become sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. So we have a belief in his name. So we have the right, because we're sons and daughters of God. We believe in his name. Number three, be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many here, we had 11 people so far receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit during this camp. How many people here have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Go ahead, raise your hand. It's all right. Okay. Any more? At the end of the service, I want you to come up and receive. That's okay. It's all right. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I don't spit. I don't bite you either. So it's okay. So it's really simple. You could testify that you were sitting right there when they received. It's so easy to receive. Because you want to. You want to have this, to be filled with the power from on high. Be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, I'm sending forth my promise of my Father. This is the promise of the Father. Luke 24, 49. This is the promise of the Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus is telling believers that the Father is going to clothe them. He's going to put something on them. And in some verses it says, endued with power from on high. Endued, that's a very interesting word, because it means to be wrapped around like a cloak or like a cloth. And when we're endued with power from on high, then we have what is considered the kingdom of God within us to perform miracles, to do wonders, to do signs. Acts chapter 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the remotest part of the earth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the receiving of power from on high. To be a witness. Witness? Yeah. What does that mean? Tongue? Yes, it means tongue. But deed, basically. To be a witness, the things that you do in the name of Jesus Christ will be a witness to him, to his name. It says that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you receive power to be a witness to me. And so Jesus wants you to be a witness for him. And I know that you've heard me say this before when I pray for people. When I lay hands on people, sometimes I pray and I say to them, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ so that his name will move forward on this earth. You see, I want his name to move forward. There's a lot of people pray in the name of God. People pray in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, whatever. But when you say the name of Jesus Christ, all heaven stands out of attention. There's something happens in the name of Jesus Christ. And you be the witness for Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Something happens miraculously that everybody takes notice. There's a billboard out front here, and it's about a pawn shop down the road. A huge billboard, right? It's an advertisement for that pawn shop. People can't miss it. It's like right there in the corner, and as you're coming around the corner, you've got to see it. Your eyes are focused on that. It's blaring you in the face. And that's exactly what happens with miracles and deliverance and healing. It is an advertisement for Jesus.
Amen.
There's no bigger advertisement than healing and deliverance than Jesus Christ.
Well said, brother.
So, Jesus said that we would do the miraculous works, healing, and perform these miracles and greater things, and we are to be His witnesses. So that when you pray for people, I pray for people that have withered arms. Do you? Do you pray for people with withered legs? I pray for a person with withered legs in a wheelchair, and they stood up and started to praise God, and the church went mad, wild.
Praise God.
You know why? I believe the kingdom of God is within me. I believe in the faith of miracles. I believe them for today. I believe that Jesus Christ can heal today.
Right.
I pray for a lady with a goiter the size of a basketball on the side of her neck. And I had a wound in my finger. An abscess is actually a very ugly thing. I had to cover it over with a Band-Aid that's on this hand. And I prayed for her, and I started to reach my hand to pray for her, and I saw the Band-Aid. And the devil said, "You're going to pray for her? Look at you." And, you know, right away the devil puts doubt in us. It's not going to work. Look at your finger. And he puts doubt in us, and he doesn't want us to do the miraculous, the advertisement for Jesus. He wants me to be afraid and draw back, shrink back with fear. So I prayed for her anyway. I said, "No, I'm going to use this hand. I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pray in faith. And I'm going to shut this doubt out of my mind in the name of Jesus." So I prayed with her. And I laid hands on her. And I prayed, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." No biggie, right? No big prayer. Just be healed in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, she screamed. And this bulging thing on the side of her neck went shrunk down. And started flapping on the side of her neck. And she screamed. And of course, it scared me, and I screamed. She goes, "Ah!" But isn't that just like the devil? It's not going to work. Look at you. That's exactly what the devil does. He throws doubt. He throws doubt and unbelief right at you as you're going to pray for somebody for a miracle. As you're going to pray for people. So, some of you know that my wife became very, very ill. She got sick. And she had pulmonary fibrosis. Pulmonary fibrosis is a disease that is deadly. I'm looking for something as I'm talking to you. I'm doing a shuffle of dance here. And she got she got very deathly ill, and she was dying. My wife was dying. I'm a man of faith. You know me as a man of faith. You know me as a man who is a deliverance minister. I've been a deliverance minister for many years. I cast demons out. I lay hands on people for healing, and they get healed. She wasn't getting healed. So, pulmonary fibrosis is like, basically like lung cancer. It kills your lungs. Your lungs dry up, and you can't breathe anymore. So it's progressive disease, and it gets worse and worse and worse. We got to the point where we were carrying tanks of oxygen around with us all the time, machines to keep her alive in oxygen. And going from church to church, having people lay hands on her, breaking curses. We went right down the checklist. Generational curse, generational curse. Looking for that. No, it's not there. Curses, family curses, bloodline curses, word curses people placed against her and her life. No, not there. Then we kept on going, anointing with oil and casting out of demons. And she kept on getting worse and worse and worse. So what happened was that my faith started to waver, just like yours would if this was happening to you. And for 4 years, we were charting this, and that's about the end of it. 4 years, 4 or 5 years tops, and then they go. So we were praying, what do we do, Father? We've been praying for miracles. We've been praying for healing. We've been praying for deliverance. And the pastor of the church that I go to, he said, I can't tell you what to do, but choose life. And that stuck. Choose life. So we get on the transplant list. She gets on the transplant list. And she gets operated on. They call her just about immediately, and they had a set of lungs, perfect lungs. And we ran to the hospital, and they operated on her. And she was healed. Now, I say this because we look at healing from one perspective, and we don't look at it from another perspective, from the medical side. And a lot of us who are living here are proof of healing from the medical side. And I want you to hear that. Some people up here had triple bypass, double bypass. Some people here have diabetes. And some people here have been miraculously healed medically through drugs and through the procedures. So I'm looking at how she got healed, and I'm scratching my head. I'm a deliverance minister. I'm supposed to be able to handle this thing, right? This is my job. This is what I do. People call me up. I pray for them. They get healed. They get delivered. I see them in churches. I pray for them. They get healed. They get delivered. And my wife, nah. Not happening. So I'm getting a little frustrated. And she has the operation. And she's healed by doctors, not of my persuasion, Buddhist, Muslims. You know, unbelievable. And I'm thinking, what is going on, God? Why did you do it this way? What happened? What happened? How did this happen? And so she got healed by that operation. And she's, I've shown some of the pictures of her. And she's not carrying these tanks of oxygen around any longer. She's got normal life. She can go out into society just like you and I can. She's got her life back. And I'm thinking, how come, God? This is not the exact way that I've done things all my life. I've been a minister. I've trusted you. And then I came to an answer. So she was getting worse no matter what we did. And then came the answer. She got healed. And she got healed. Now, I want you to turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. After she's been healed for a while, and I'm scratching my head, I came to this. I've read it 1,000 times before, but then I saw something in it. Isaiah 55 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Get your pen out. Verse 10. "For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I'm reading this, and I'm thinking of my wife, how God and me, I'm thinking of my wife and me, I'm thinking of how God has changed the way I think when I pray for people now. And it's because of this passage. God's thoughts are not my thoughts, and His ways aren't my ways. They're higher. I thought of, also at the same time, I thought of Naaman, the Syrian general who had leprosy, and he went to Elisha's house and he wanted to get prayed for, but Gehazi, the servant, came out and said, go dip in the river seven times, the Jordan River. Gehazi got the message to go tell Naaman, the Syrian general, that. And then the general gets furious. My rivers in Samaria are better than this, the dirty Jordan River. And he goes away and he's furious and he's mad. And his servant convinces him to just do the, it's a simple thing to do. If he told you to do a hard thing, you would have done it. So please do the simple thing. And he does, and he gets healed. You see, my faith was kind of like the Syrian general. Anoint with oil. Cast demons out. Lay hands on the sick. And God says, wait a second. I've got a better plan. And I'm going to get the glory for this. And God got the glory for it. Anyway, He got the glory. Yes, I still lay hands on people. Yes, I still cast demons out of people. Yes, I still follow the Word of God on how to pray for healing, to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I still do that. But I must remember that God is still God. Amen? I can't tell Him what to do or how to do it, or convince Him how to do it, no matter what. Muslim doctors, go ahead. If that's the way He wants to do it, fine. If He wants to do it that way, have unbelievers heal her medically, then He's still God. And it changed the way I thought. You see, I want you to look at that word again. The word is that He sends forth His word as rain and snow. Right? Rain waters the earth right now. And it produces seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Right now. So when we lay hands on people in the name of Jesus Christ and they're healed instantly, it's rain word. Jesus is the Word. Is He not? He's the Word of God. Became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus becomes the Word of God now, instantly healing. And it says also here that He sends not only rain, but snow from heaven. And it doesn't return there. Snow! A snow word. 4 years before Jesus got snow word. Jill was given snow word. Healing. 4 years prior, hands were laid on her. Oil was given to her on her forehead. Demons were cast out. But it was a snow healing, a snow deliverance. It melted into another season and produced the very same thing. It's a snow word. And when we pray for healing, when I pray for healing now, I pray for healing. Sometimes it's like I look for the instant miracle, of course. I look for that to happen. Like the 10 lepers going down the road. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And 10 lepers went away. and one of them returned and thanked Jesus. Well, that they were healed as they went down the road. Snow word. Not instantly in front of Jesus. But we always want that instant type of healing. We want to see it. We want it to be advertised on television. We want to see it right now. But God says, I send forth my word as rain and snow to produce the very same thing. So, when you come up for healing, or when you pray for somebody for healing, and they're not instantly healed, it could be a snow word that you're depositing in them. The kingdom of God is a snow word too. Amen? Oh. Oh-hoo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So out of this, not only was she healed physically, but spiritually. Now, you heard Crystal say, my wife gave testimony 7 years ago when she was here? Five? Okay. And since that time, that disease progressed. We went through this whole situation. And she has developed a scrapbook. It's back there at the register. It's got an anchor on it. Big book. Her name is Jill Marzullo. And she has developed basically a scrapbook with pictures and healing scriptures alongside of the pictures. Now, in my house, all of these scriptures that she put in the scrapbook are behind doors and drawers and on the bathroom wall, on the refrigerator. Every time I open up a cabinet, there's the scripture there of healing, some form of scripture. So what has happened with Jill is that when she got healed, she was also being healed spiritually. And God was developing a spiritual healing in her, where she has been transformed by leaps and bounds because of the affliction she was going through and the things that she was developing in this scrapbook. It was a scrapbook. I converted it into a booklet. So you can see it in the back there. You open it up and it's scriptures and healing. So, do you want to see miracles? Do you want to see power? You have to understand that God wants to use you, and He wants to use you with power and authority. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to take a side road here. So we know that healing comes from the Lord. And we quote scripture all the time, by His stripes we are healed. This is true. I want you to understand this is true. By His stripes we are healed. And when we are healed, like I say, it's a big advertisement for them. Isaiah 53:5 says that sin and sickness, the issue of sin and sickness, it has been taken care of on the cross. It says that He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of us, our well-being, fell upon Him, and by His stripes, scourging, we are healed. So Jesus took the beating for us. So when we think of salvation, we think of eternal life. We also think of the same thing, the cross healing for us too as well. The healing at the cross. So Jesus doesn't, the Father God does not see that we sin anymore, correct? Isaiah 53:5. So He doesn't see that we have sin anymore, and He doesn't see that we're sick anymore either. So how many here have a disease or an illness, an affliction, some sort of physical thing that's going on with them? Okay? And so we're going to take care of that tonight. We're going to bring it before God. And some of you are going to get a rain word, some of you are going to get a snow word. Just remember that. Some of it's going to be right now, instantly, and some of it's going to be down the road away. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. I want her to go somewhere. They brought to him, Mark chapter 7, verse 32, one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and he implored him to lay his hands on him. Now watch this. Very interesting here. Verse 33, Mark 7, 33. He took him aside from the crowd by himself, and he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue with saliva. And he looked up to heaven, gave a deep sigh, and said, Abatha Atta. That is, be open. And his ears were immediately open, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began to speak plainly. The interesting thing here, I thought, was that Jesus took him aside. Why? Because in the chapter, previous chapter, before that, he was in a town called Nazareth, and he was a town that people knew him, and he couldn't do any miracles in that town because of their unbelief. So I believe that what he did here is he removed the person from the unbelievers, even though it doesn't say that here. He just took him out privately and did a one-on-one with him. And sometimes that's necessary. You may come here with somebody and they're skeptics, and you come forward for a prayer. You want prayer. You want healing. And all of a sudden, you decide, they're in the back. They're saying, it's not going to happen. It happens to, you know, everybody else, but it's not going to happen to her or him. And so their unbelief will keep a miracle from happening. Unbelief will keep a miracle from happening. That's what I believe would happen here. So you took him aside. Thank you, Father. Do you remember Jairus, the synagogue official, whose daughter died? His daughter died. And Jesus was on his way to his daughter's house, to his house, to pray for his daughter. And he got word that his daughter died. And he says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. And when he got there, there were mourners outside the house. They were all crying and weeping because the daughter died. And Jesus says, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And they started to laugh at him and mock him. So what did he do? He took a couple of disciples in that had the faith, and he took mom and dad into the room, and he what? Shut the door. You remember the widow who wanted to receive the blessing from God, who had the oil, gathered the jars, shut the door. Don't let the neighbors in. And God started to pour out a blessing that she couldn't even receive. And so the same thing true with Jairus. Jesus brought this dead person back to life. How? Come in, believers. Shut the door, unbelievers. And that's what we have to do sometimes when we're praying for miracles, for things. We have to shut unbelief out. Remember my finger? Go to raise it up, and the devil puts unbelief in my heart. Yeah, you're not going to heal her. You need healing. Shut the door. The woman with the issue of blood, she pushed through the crowd. She wanted to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ. And she did, and she was healed. And sometimes we have to do that. We have to push through the crowd in order to be healed. Some of us need to get to that point in our life. We say, enough, Lord, I need healing, and I'm going to push through until I get it.
That's right.
And that's what we need to do. We need to do that. Push through. Praise God. It's necessary sometimes to remove yourself from skeptics and unbelievers. In the Psalms it says, do not sit in the seat of scoffers. Wow. You know there's Christian scoffers? You know that there's, you have friends and that you have frenemies? Yeah. You have people that are with you but not for you. And sometimes when we pray, we need to shut them out. Maybe even your relatives who are scoffing you and not believing. You need to shut them out while you pray for the healing and pray for your deliverance. I want the instant. I want the rain word. Listen, I've been through this and I've seen the snow word. It's no fun. You know? I want my hamburger now. I want to eat it right now. I want what God has right now. I'd love that. But He is God. He's ultimately God. He's going to do it His way anyway. He's going to get the glory. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now, I asked you earlier, 8:45, is it? Is it close to that? Okay. I won't keep you long. I want you to hear this in the Holy Spirit. You have illness and disease in you, and it didn't come from God. He's not the author of death, and destruction. We know who is, the enemy. We don't put up with this in our life. I mean, we seem to be dragging along in life with these things following us. Sometimes I was just talking with somebody just a little while ago. They had an infection in their body. You know, it all turned to the glory of God because he was able to witness to the people that were ministering to him and, medically. But that was not the design of God. The design of God is that we have life and have life abundantly.
That's right.
So all of you who have diseases, I want you to consider that as an evil spirit of infirmity. And name the disease that you have as we do this deliverance. I want you to name it out loud. Let the devil know that you know that you're not going to play around. Whatever the name of it is, you let the devil know. Say, I'm not going to have that anymore in my life. And I'm going to be healed. And Jesus, you're going to heal me because I trust you. I believe in you. And I'm shutting all unbelief out. Say this with me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe that you are my miracle.
That you are my miracle.
Waiting to happen.
In my life.
So that your name will go forward. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I pray right now.
That every demon.
That was assigned to me with disease and illness. Every spirit of infirmity. Be bound and powerless. Satan. Your contract is canceled. By the blood of Jesus Christ.
I command every effect.
Of these diseases
that flow into my body
to cease now in the name of Jesus.
I command
especially
spiritual sickness
that I have received,
physical sickness
that I have received
to
stop now. In Jesus' name. Heaviness. Gloom. Despair. Suicide. Death wish. Manias. Madness. Double personalities. Dopiness.
Sleepiness.
Rebellion. criminal-mindedness. Leave me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Go in the name of Jesus. All syndromes and sicknesses of the mind, all diseases of the mind, all diseases of the spirit, go in Jesus' name. All disorders, all compulsions, leave in Jesus' name. Leave in Jesus' name. Now, we talked about how these things enter in on this afternoon, but we're clipping it out now. We're chopping it out. I command out of me. OCD. That's right. We do it. We have OCD somewhere, somehow. We wash our hands too much. We want to get clean. We want to collect things. OCD. Leave me. In the name of Jesus. Overeating. Leave me. In the name of Jesus. Fear. Leave me. In the name of Jesus. Strokes. Brain damage. Epilepsy. Tumors. Blood clots. Cysts. Leave me in the name of Jesus. All infirmity, leave me. Irritable bowel syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome, self-hatred, leave me in the name of Jesus. Coronary heart disease, blocked arteries, leave me in the name of Jesus. Fibromyalgia, leave me in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've done it yet, but right now, name your disease. Just shout it out. Go ahead. Keep on going. Shout it out.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.